So to us this day is born a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. And it's wonderful to be with you this Christmas Eve at St. Paul's, ringed by angels, angels upon angels, and jostled by shepherds who still smell a bit of the fields, and to worship at this manger and to celebrate the now and forever birth of Jesus, our Savior, our Christ, the Lord, the Lord. And I'm always struck by all we do every year to celebrate this feast. We've decorated our homes with lights and garlands and wreaths. We've made fancy food, lots of cookies and more cookies. We mix up the eggnog, and we even cook and prepare the famous roast beast. That's a literary reference for those of you out there. And scandal of all scandals, we even take time off work. My God, what are we doing? And we do all this in response to an astounding religious revelation that in the birth of Jesus, God has put all of God's self at the heart of ourselves. God has put God's self at the heart of your experience of being alive. So you have your experience of being alive, and it's all about all you and all you're doing and all you're thinking and feeling and wondering and where you're going to go and what you're going to do and what you're afraid of and all that. And then in Jesus, God puts God's own life, that eternal life of rejoicing and strength and compassion and courage, that eternal life right at the heart of who you are. It is right there. And it may be the basic purpose of our lives just to find that hovel, that cave, that lean-to shelter at the heart of ourselves, and which we also find between each other, that place where God is born in us with all of God's self. We join the angels in singing, perhaps in cracked voices, Gloria, Gloria. We join the shepherds in kneeling, in worship. And when we discover that place in ourselves, in our society, where God already is, where God has put God's self there in our midst between us, we can do nothing but kneel down and say yes. Because the life of God is a great yes to us, and we say yes in return. Now, St. Mary and St. Joseph were the first to wonder at this impossible gift of God. I mean, just imagine Mary knowing the gestation of this child within her, and Joseph told by the angels to go and embrace scandal in sticking with Mary, and then Mary and St. Elizabeth singing the Magnificat, that great spilling over of God's joy, singing about God raising up the lowly and casting down the mighty. That's our Christian faith. That's what God does. God comes among us and is born among us to raise up the lowly, to raise up, to fix what is broken, to bring new life to where there was just death. That's what God does. He comes into our hearts, and God does that. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. But there was something else that Mary and Joseph knew about this birth, a great mystery to wonder at. God seems to show up in the poor and the powerless and the failures and at the margins of this world. Mary and Joseph were poor, after all, and had absolutely no power. And they lived in a brutal and oppressive time. And just to be clear, brutal and oppressive times seem to be the norm in human history. Kindness is kind of the exception to the rule. And the Gospels were very clear about this as the context for the birth of Jesus, this great discovery that we have the life of God between us and within us to share and to know. That happened while poor Quirinius, I love saying Quirinius. I wish I'd named my son Quirinius. But Quirinius was governor of the powder keg of Syria, and cruel King Herod, who was given to massacres on whim, was king over Judea. And Caesar Augustus, emperor, waxing large in ego and his need for control, thought it a good idea to have a census. And the purpose of that was to extend imperial power and the cult of emperor worship further and further into people's lives. It's in that inhospitable time, a time hostile to God, in a manger, no room at the inn, that's where and when God put self with us. So God puts God's self in the most impossible place as a way of saying that God will put God's self in every place. And that gets us, sisters and brothers, very close to the Christmas message. And it's just this: that God, in God's wisdom and power, puts God's self, and that's that life of God, that life of yes. It's a life of compassion that knows us and wants us and says yes to us, so we can say yes to ourselves. God puts that at the center of our lives, regardless of what is going on with those lives. Did you get that? It happens regardless of the quality or character or nature of those lives. And of course, we want our lives to go well. We want to blossom in youth and then flourish in adulthood and in late middle age with family and friends, and then enjoy a serene and interesting retirement. Of course, right? We all want that. We all want that. And of course we do. But we know it doesn't always happen. We know that. Things go wrong. Bad stuff happens. Sin crosses our lives and bends our souls, and betrayals happen, and bad stuff happens. But the good news, I think, is that even if and when things go wrong in our outward lives, we still can discover that life of God there at our hearts, at the very center of who we are, with strength and power and love. That life is solid. It is just immovably there. And that's the great promise of Christianity, of faith in Jesus and his holy birth. And I've seen people discover this and surrender to this presence of God in hospital rooms when all hope seems lost. And I've seen them able to share that then with doctors and nurses and other patients. I've seen people discover this life of God within them that claims them and knows them in dorm rooms during freshman years in college. Good God, not there. Yes, even there, God comes. It's happened for some while driving on the interstate, and others in quiet moments at a holy shrine. God is, and God comes, and God stays. And I love that staying of God. God never leaves. So regardless of what's going on with you and your outer life, and the good and the bad and the hopeful and the fearful, and there's always this chance to come back and say yes to the God at the center, and then the God that's between you and me, and to say yes to this life of compassion and goodness and hope, and to begin to get one's strength from there. And this whole sermon is kind of working out about like what I'd want my children to know.
They're like 10 and 13. And of course I want them to have a good education and good mental health, and I want them to get into a good school and all that great stuff. I want them to be confident and good socially. But more than all of that, because I know life's going to deal them some pretty hard knocks, I want them to know this God that is born at the center of who they are, so that regardless of what happens in their lives, they can come back and find their strength and their dignity and their joy and their meaning there, and then connect with that with others. That's what Jesus is doing. Being born as a human being, putting God at the center of humanness. Weird, weird humanness. And perhaps that's enough for Christmas Eve. Perhaps just knowing this is enough to make this silent night a holy night. Enough to give us pause even tomorrow morning as the wrapping paper is flying and the kids are yelling and the tree is like shaking side by side and the eggnog is spilling. You know, take a moment. Be like, I know the gift. I know God. God has said yes to me, claimed me. I say yes to God. Maybe that's enough. But I want to point out one last thing. And that is that it's all about being embodied. That's a weird sort of turn for the end of a sermon. But we often think of Christianity about like, oh, I think good thoughts, or I like have nice ideas or aspirations. But this life of God I'm talking about is something that's known in our bodies. It's a bodily thing. It's about Mary's body and our bodies. It's about shepherds who smell of wood smoke and sheep being the very first Christian theologians. I love it. And evangelists. It's about the body of Jesus himself, doomed to death on a cross, God's great vulnerability to us in a body, just as we are vulnerable in our lives because we have these bodies. And the whole of our religious practice, the Eucharist, which we'll have in a moment, and daily prayer and meditation, is about opening our bodied sense of ourselves to the God who is here with us in these bodies, exactly as they are, vulnerable, alive, afraid, hopeful, desiring. The life of God right at the heart of that. We call that incarnation, the embodiment of God with us. Now that is worthy of eggnog. And I don't care if you have high cholesterol, you get to have eggnog. It's worthy of roast beast. It's worthy of lights and garlands and carols and dancing. It's worthy of a Christmas feast. So as we crouch with the shepherds and hear the song of angels, as we eat with family and friends, let us open ourselves, our very sense of selves being in this world, and say yes to the God who has already put God's life at the center of us, in our souls. Oh, come, and let us adore him. Let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen.